Well, holidays like this are often times to think back. And we have our memories, maybe of Easter's growing up. I'm trying to think of one at minus 18, but I can't. So this is a new memory this year. But for me, when I think back at Easter growing up, it takes me to a church of 200 in a town of 400. The town of Carbon, just around Drumheller, Three Hills area. And being somewhat of a traditional church, Easter was the day for new clothes. Being a German church, it was a day of lots and lots and lots of food. Although every Sunday seemed to be the day of lots and lots of food. A musical church with the choirs, often a cantata, either that weekend or the weekend before or the weekend after. And somewhere when I think way back, one of my memories is flannel graph. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But this kind of blue flannel cloth, and that's what we had in Sunday school. They didn't have TV screens in classes back then, And on that went these little cutout cross, a cutout empty tomb, a cutout Jesus. And I think back to those memories, my knowledge of the truth that we celebrate today was in so many ways forged in those cutout images. And then 2014, I get a chance to go to Israel. And we see what may have been the hill of Golgotha. We see that tomb that may have indeed been the garden tomb. Walk around the Sea of Galilee. That was on the flannel graph too. And all of a sudden, all of those cutouts upon which my faith was built took upon itself a geographic reality. This is rooted, it's historical. I think of that today. We've talked all year under this theme with. We really believe that we can know God in such a way that he walks with us and we walk with him day by day by day by day. And times have changed. Our artistic rendering and projectors and everything else on our screen, we put up these images of walking with Jesus. We cut out letters and we put lights behind them. And yet, what is the reality beneath this? Is our walking with God just about projected screens? No, the reality is what we celebrate today. We can walk with God because Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, everything God said is true. And God said, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. In Easter, the barriers are broken down. Funny, your program, you have this quote from John Piper. The best news of the Christian gospel is the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself, so we might find everlasting joy in seeing and savoring his infinite beauty. Amen. Morton Dallas needs to say amen to that. That is amen, I tell you. Because Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again, every obstacle keeping us from living with God is removed. And we can be with him. We want to look at that today. It is fascinating that when Jesus rose again, he chose to reveal the truth of that in a very with way. Very personal, being with people way. He could have climbed the temple and said, I'm alive. He could have called on the angels from Christmas Eve and had them celebrate over Jerusalem, I'm alive. Instead, in very, very personal ways, he shows up with Mary Magdalene in a garden. And today, literally walking with two followers, and we only have one of their names. But it's found in Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, the very day Jesus rose from the grave, you'd think he'd have a lot to do. He chooses to come alongside and have a long walk with two people. That same day, two of these people were going to a village called Emmaus. We only know one of them is Cleopas. That name's going to come later. We don't even have the other name. We know standing at the cross, there was someone named Mary who was the wife of Clopas. So a lot of people think that this probably was Clopas or Cleopas and his wife Mary. We don't know for sure. But just two people on their way home from Jerusalem trying to make sense of what happened. They were talking with each other, verse 14, about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, the risen Jesus, who could have chosen so many other ways to make known his resurrection, came up and walked along with them. There's the word with. With them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Two people on this journey trying to make sense of truth, of God, of life, of the very foundation of what they were building their life on. Maybe today you're on a road like that. You come on this Easter Sunday, and in so many places, some of you, it may be a day of celebration. The living Jesus is, you sense him walking with you in profound ways. For others, it's brand new. For others, you're somewhere in the middle. And you're trying to make sense of it all. So today, I want us to join in this very intimate walk as Jesus comes alongside these two people. And he explains Easter. He talks about it as bad news before it's good news, before it's too good to be true news, but then puts the exclamation, it is true. Bad news, good news, too good to be true news, but true indeed. So let's take those categories and see what Jesus has to say about Easter and how he wants to walk with us and come alongside us to understand the truth of Easter. First of all, he talks about Easter as bad news. And he meets these two people in the midst of their bad news. We live in a world that really likes to live on the surface. And I think a lot of that has to do with we don't like bad news. We don't like bad news. Think about it. What's our greeting nowadays? Hi, how are you? And what's the expected answer? I'm fine. Now, unless you're actually with someone who you know and trust in a very safe place, I'm fine. And in fact, if you say to somebody, how are you doing? And they say, I'm not fine. And they start telling you something, you get really uncomfortable, right? Hum, ha, awkward silence, walk away. And yet I think what we all want, when we're honest, is a place where we can just be real. We can share the real news of our lives, even when that news is not good. And there's a sense the person listening, we're not imposing on them. We're not making them feel awkward. But they really listen. And they're really trying to understand. And they really care. Well, here comes Jesus. And he's walking alongside, and we read that these two people aren't doing well. Verse 17, he asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. We're not fine. We're not fine. One of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened these days?" "What things?" he asked. "What about Jesus of Nazareth?" they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and all our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Do you hear it? Our hope's gone. Our hope's gone. See, for them, the bad news that they thought was the bad news was kind of circumstantial. They weren't living as free people. Rome was over their nation. They had to pay taxes. So economically disadvantaged, politically disadvantaged. And for them, if only the circumstances would change. But Jesus, verse 25, he says, "You think that's the bad news? I'm going to go a layer deeper." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things?" This one you're waiting for, you've missed something. You think he was going to come in power and change your circumstances. He had to come and actually suffer because your problem is deeper. You think the bad news is that Rome's in charge? The bad news is that sin's in charge. That's the bad news. We've picked that up in other things Jesus said. John 3:17. God did not send his son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came because the world condemned itself. That's the bad news of Easter. Let me put it this way. There was a story came out a number of years ago about a guy who had a toothache, and his wife works for a dentist, so they kind of get him in, and they do an x-ray, and the dentist brings a wife in, and at first doesn't show the x-ray, just says, your husband has a nail up through his tooth, right by his eye, and she thought it's some cruel joke, but he showed her the x-ray. He was a guy that worked with nail guns, and his nail gun had backfired at work, and one nail went into a board, kind of on the side. He didn't know that another had come up through his mouth, through his tooth. You can actually look it up. They show the x-ray. Guess what? You're not going to subscribe him a little pill and send him home, right? Bad news isn't, yeah, you got a toothache. The bad news is you got a problem. The bad news of Easter is that Jesus had to come and suffer because sin had to be paid for. And the bad news of Easter is that's our reality. God made us. He made us to live with him. We condemned ourselves by saying, "God, maker of the universe, I'm turning my back on you. I'm going to live life my own way. And no circumstantial change in the world is going to fix my problem." So that's the bad news. The bad news is we stand before God, separated from him, condemned by him, because of our choice, not his. Condemned really by ourselves. But the beauty of Easter is that even in our bad news, runs toward us. See that? Jesus runs toward us. Not away. I don't know where you're at today. But today the bad news might be staring you in the face and you just don't know where you can go honest about it. Jesus invites you to come and say, here's my reality. Here's my loss. Here's my diagnosis. Here's my relational mess. Here's the world I can't figure out. Here's my fear. Here's my anxiety. He doesn't run from that. Neither does he offer a Band-Aid. He says, let's get to the roots. Let's get to the roots. And that brings us to the good news. The bad news is we all, by our own choice, have walked out on God. We have broken his holiness. And it's just who God is. You can't be sinful in the presence of a holy God. We chose that. And because of that, our lives are messed up. Our world is messed up. That's the bad news. But the good news is God doesn't leave us there. So let's go to the good news. Isn't it great how in a lot of the big stories that just appeal to us, good news comes from the strangest places. Things that you could, really? You know, you can hardly believe it. It seems Lord of the Rings comes out a lot. It's a Christian author, and these themes just ooze out of him biblically. But if you know Lord of the Rings, these two little hobbits, Sam and Frodo, the weight of the world is put on their shoulders. And near the end, they've been separated from their protection. They're all alone in a very dark and wicked world. And you think, there is no hope here. But the funny thing is, it's because of how there's no way they could do this that powers of evil aren't even noticing them. And they're fighting a battle over there as good kind of comes up in a way totally unexpected. What about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? I don't know if you can see on our prayer wall here, somebody drew a lion. A beautiful picture of Aslan, the lion, out of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And in this story, again, the bad news, this world is ruled by evil, by a witch, and the only hope, Aslan, seems to finally have come, but Aslan willingly gives himself to be killed on a stone table, and you go, how can this ever be good? And then the next morning dawns, and Aslan awakens. He rises from the dead. And because there was no sin in him, we find out he actually had given his life because of the human traitor Edmund. And on that stone, he had paid the penalty for Edmund's treachery. And now he's alive and Edmund is forgiven and good wins. In the big stories, good often comes out of the seemingly worst places. And in the story of Easter, good comes out of a cross. We've cleaned up the cross. Its contemporary is like a hangman's noose, an electric chair. It's ugly. And yet because Jesus rose again, it's good news. And we read about this. We go to Luke. Jesus says to these two, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer, bad news, these things, and then enter into his glory? That there will be a rising again, that the good is going to come out of the bad. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Are you keeping a list of what you're going to ask when you get to heaven? There's one here. Hey, Luke, why didn't you put in Jesus' sermon? Wouldn't that be cool to hear what Jesus said to these two? And I think Luke's answer would be, well, you got it. You've got the Old Testament. Look yourself. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. Start at Moses. Go to Exodus 12. The whole Passover. That whole Jewish piece of history that they celebrated when the Jews were in absolute slavery and God acted to free them, and the last act that freed them was God coming down on Egypt with this terrible night in which every firstborn in the land would be killed But God said to his people, yours don't have to be. Take a lamb, kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost of your home, the door, so that when that angel of death comes to kill all the firstborn, he will see the blood of a lamb and will pass over you. And instead of death, you'll be saved. I wonder if Jesus came up beside Cleopas and possibly his wife and said, do you get the Passover you were celebrating? That's pointing to Jesus. Why do you think he's called the Lamb of God? His blood had to be shed that you could be saved. Well, how does that work? Maybe you just said, you remember what Isaiah said? Might have taken him to Isaiah 53. Surely this one from God took up our pain, bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. We didn't get it. Because here's what really happened. When he died on that cross, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus said the cross had to happen. Because the bad news is in Rome. It's our hearts. It's your heart. And Jesus had to go to the cross because the sin in our heart cut us off from a holy God. The sin had to be dealt with and paid for. So God, who set the terms, came down to earth in the person of Jesus so his unbreakable terms could be satisfied and his holiness intact and his love reaching out so that you can be forgiven. And as they're trying to figure all that out, then they're also talking about, and then we heard this rumor that Jesus rose again, and he's going, of course he rose again. Look at your Bible. Psalm 16. You know it's a psalm promising the son of David who will come. Well, look at verse 10. He will not abandon this son to the realm of the dead or let the faithful one or holy one see decay. It's there. Anyone who says that the God of the Old Testament and the Jesus of the New are different, they're not reading the Old Testament. And Jesus is showing these people the depth of their bad news that they might see the good news that Jesus has come to die on a cross. That his holiness can now accept people who have become unholy because the sin is forgiven and they can come into his presence. That's the good news. That at its very root, all that's messed up in this world is dealt with in Jesus. A new day is coming when it's going to be set right. So these two walking along, they've heard the bad news. It's more than Rome, it's inside. They've heard the good news. Jesus did something about that. But now the too good to be true news. But true it is indeed. And the news is that all of this isn't just some historical event. It's a reality that can bring you into relationship with God for now and forever. It's not just out there at arm's length. It's here. It's for you. Let me set this up with a story. It happened in the 1800s. A ship was captained by a guy named James Riley. He would say before he set out, he didn't even know if there was a God. If there was he involved in the affairs of humanity? He would doubt that. But that ship was shipwrecked, 20-foot waves, and this guy who barely believed in God looked into heaven and offered up the prayer, great creator and preserver of the universe who now sees our distress, we commit our souls to your mercy. And then he records, right after he finished his prayer, as if by divine command, the wind stopped and a 20-yard gap emerged in the breakers that they were able to row through. as the sea continued to roar on either side of them. What's funny about the story is he said, I have to write this down. And his publisher loved the story except this part. He said, it's so fantastical and so miraculous, nobody would believe it. And Riley kind of said, well, they may not believe it, but you got to include it because it's true. I cannot suppress or deny what so clearly appeared to me and my companions as the immediate and merciful act of the Almighty. In many ways, these two are about to have a James Riley experience. They've heard from this person walking with them that they don't understand yet as Jesus about these amazing events that have happened, but they're still kind of arm's length and they're still kind of thinking about it. And then Luke 24, verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. What's going on here in the book of Luke, sitting at a table with someone is a place of being very personal. It's an intimate setting. It's a very you and me setting. It's a very with kind of setting. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Well, he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us. And Luke is saying it's not enough to have the good news at arm's length. There's the too good to be true news. That this God who has done all this extends a personal invitation to you, and in receiving it, in a personal way, it becomes real and alive in your life. That's the news that's too good to be true, but it is. That this risen Jesus wants to walk with each one of us in this room personally. And we don't earn our way there. We don't earn our way through the breakers. We don't save ourselves. We just say, God, I condemn myself by my choice. I believe you stepped out of heaven in the person of Jesus out of great love. Died on that terrible cross. Rose again. It's true. And as one among all your creation, you did it for me. And I receive that. Maybe your hearts are burning right now. There's something in this story that is just beckoning you to take it in at a deeper level. Maybe for you, it's for the first time to say, this is real. And right now, I'm saying yes to Jesus. But others of you who follow him, your hearts are burning now to say, it is two arms length. This thing has to get closer. I want this withness at a deeper level. Just a couple things about it. First of all, this risen Jesus wants to walk with us, whatever we face, whatever road we're on. He wants to continue to come alongside us. One of the sermons I read this Easter was by Bill Hybels. As some of you know him, he's this pastor of this church of thousands. And he found himself needing a break at one point in his life. And wanting to be unknown, he walked into the back of a small African-American church one Sunday where he could be anonymous. And as he's sitting there, this older lady goes to the piano and begins to sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And he says, at that moment, the risen Lord Jesus made himself present with him. No one knew he'd be in that church. Had that lady pick that song for him, but God knew. I remember one of the clearest pictures of this in my own life that I've shared before, but when I think of the living Lord Jesus making his presence known, you know my story. There have been times I've been in some pretty low places, wrestling with anxiety, depression, at one point really feeling guilty even about that, and sitting at home in the midst of wallowing in that, I get a knock on the door from someone that has a relationship with God I respect a lot. She hands me a piece of paper and says, well, God wants you to read this. It was folded up. It lists what God has against you. I'm thinking, finally, I can see it. And I opened that piece of paper. And it was blank. And the present risen Lord Jesus in the person of his Spirit said, Lyle, do you believe the scripture? As far as the east is from the west, I've removed your sin. You're forgiven. And the present risen Lord Jesus that day met me. And I don't know how he needs to meet you today, but he will. Be real with him. So that's one way this present risen Lord Jesus comes among us, when we're open, when we're honest, when we come to him. And sometimes that takes time, and it takes community, and it takes being honest. But it definitely takes stopping long enough just to say, God, I got to quit running. And walking alone. And get serious about walking with you. But before we think this is all about Jesus making me feel good, the other part of this walking with him is walking according to his purpose. And this really is what gives us life. Philippians 2 was one of our readings if you were tracking in the 28 days of prayer. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11 talks about how Jesus has been raised and exalted. And this is the Jesus that's talked about in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Okay, we're united with this Christ. What then are we to do? Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking out for your own interests, but each to the interests of others. This is so cool. When Cleopas and whoever's with him, and it's likely his wife, when they get who Jesus is, you know the first thing they do? They go running back to Jerusalem. They don't care that it's nighttime. They've got a new purpose. Jesus is alive, and they're just out there to tell people and get excited about it. And here we read in Philippians that if we are united with his Christ, which we are, there is something that happens in our lives that selfish ambition and our own little things start to look really pale. And we know that they can't give us life forever, and they start to lose their shine. And we start to say, God, there's a big world out there that needs your love and your truth, and how can I get out there and do something about it? And we start to really live. And maybe today, Jesus is saying, you're united with me. And I'm inviting you to be my voice and my hands and my feet and my heart. And it's so much bigger than getting lost in video games. And it's so much bigger than getting lost in how much money you have and all of that stuff. Not that we don't need to pay attention to it, but there's something overriding it that it's ever greater, and it's God saying, do you want to be the bearer of my love and my truth to the world? You're united with me. Go for it. no longer are we lost in our own little world, but the world gets big, and Jesus gets bigger, and he can use us. And I tell you what, is that too good to be true news? But it is. It's true, because Jesus is alive. So today, Jesus would say, you want to know what Easter's about? Let me come alongside you and remind you, it is bad news. In fact, worse than you might think. It's so bad that changing your circumstances isn't going to help anything. But I'm running towards you in your bad news with good news, and that is I'm dealing with the root of the issue. Coming out of heaven to die on a cross so your sin can be dealt with. And bit by bit, by bit by bit, as you journey toward heaven, all of sin's consequences can come under my healing touch as you surrender them to me. The too good to be true news is this really is for you. It's offered for you. Have you received the truth of what Jesus did when he came and died on a cross and rose again? Maybe right now. It's time to say yes. And having said yes, I think his next question is, will you walk with me? Honest with whatever's going on in your life and united to my purpose. It seems too good to be true. But it's not. Because Jesus made it true. He's alive. Let's pray. Father, your word tells us that the events of this weekend this too good to be true news is true. God has visited our planet in the person of Jesus, died on a cross, rose again. That in what he has done, we can be restored and walk with our Creator. Open, honest, real, a journey in which we don't have to pretend, because it's a fallen world and it's a mess. Sometimes we feel that mess so keenly, but you don't run from it. God, right now, there might be people in this room who just need to say, God, I got to give you my mess, because I don't know what to do with it anymore. God, for others, the realization today is the mess represents a need to be restored to you. And it's the first time just to say, God, I receive what you did on the cross. Thank you for running into my bad news by sending your son to die. Thank you for the good news of the cross. And then for all of us, God, to recognize that it doesn't matter what we face, you walk with us. And God, it's about so much more, although it is about joy and peace and those other fruits of character and lifestyle that you talk about. But it's about purpose. And it's about us having a reason to wake up in the morning. And that is to be the hands and the feet and the voice and the heart of the living Lord Jesus to the world around us. God, may we walk with you in your agenda and your purpose. In Christ alone, all of this is true. And we declare that today. Let's stand together.